Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today is Wednesday, April 15th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book and we're finishing up the chapter, Working with Others. We're on page 103 and we'll be reading and commenting on one paragraph that begins with, "After all, our problems were." Today's readers are Nan K. for the 12 Steps, Christina L. for the 12 Traditions, Eileen M., Penny L. C., and Robin T. Kara L. will greet newcomers and get numbers from available sponsors at the end of the meeting, and Robin T. will have some special announcements for us. The reference numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting, that would be for Tuesday, April 14th, is 14434. That's 14434. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Wednesday, April 15th, is 14404. That's 14404. BOA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Nan K. to please read the 12 steps.
Hi, I'm Nan K. from Michigan. The 12 steps. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Nan K. And I'll now ask Christina L. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. This is Christina L. from Florida, a recovered compulsive overeater, and here are the 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Christina F. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. I also want to let you know that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might have a chance to share their experience too. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your share be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted using star 1, please. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. Excuse me, we're finishing the chapter Working with Others. We're on page 103, reading and commenting on paragraph 3. And I will ask Eileen M. to please begin reading.
Good morning. This is Eileen M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Lebanon, New Hampshire. After all, our problems were of our own making. Bottles were only a symbol. Besides, we have to stop fighting anything or anybody. Besides, we have stopped fighting anything or anyone. We have to. I am so grateful to be a member of this Vision for You group. Before I found the Vision for You meeting, I had wanted so much to work the steps, and I was not able to find a sponsor in my local area. And I, you know, decided at that point to go to this group called AA Big Book Sub-Study. And I joined that, and that was the first time I heard this phrase, that our problems were of our own making. And when I heard that, I just thought, no, that does not apply to me. You know, my problems are because of other people. And I didn't even realize I was blaming people. And, you know, when I gave up all my trigger foods and the compulsive behaviors, I got so much clarity in return because I really began to see my part. And when I got to that fourth step, you know, I was told that my resentments were 100% my responsibility. And I had to, you know, my sponsor said, okay, you're going to only put about 8 words or less for the cause of, like, what the other person did or what you perceive they did. And I had so many resentments. I had been carrying them around, and I didn't even know it. And that's what was making me go to the food was, you know, I would make up stories about other people that weren't even true. You know, so a lot of my resentments didn't even represent reality. You know, I've heard often in this group that, you know, every day when I wake up, I am an untreated compulsive overeater, and I have a choice. You know, I'm presented with a choice every day. Am I going to invite God into my life to help me or not? You know, and I have a much better day when I invite God in. And that's the promise of step two, is that when I invite God into my life, God can restore me to sanity. And the last thing I want to share is where it says, besides we have stopped fighting anybody or anything, we have to. That reminds me of, you know, we have this phrase in program, do I want to be right or do I want to be happy? You know, and sometimes I want to be right. And, you know, the thing with the spiritual awakening changed my thinking. It changes my thinking so that, like today, when I'm aware that, okay, I'm getting triggered by somebody, I have a choice now of, do I want to go to that fight or not? You know, do I want to react to it? And, you know, sometimes I do. And when I find that I do, you know, sometimes I have to make amends. And, you know, I have to change that behavior. And, you know, it's like, it's really so true. Do I want to be right or do I want to be happy? And, you know, if I'm not practicing step 11 throughout the day, making conscious contact, I can create a lot of problems for myself that are unnecessary. And so I'm so grateful for this. I'm grateful to be living in 10, 11, and 12, and, you know, to be doing that, you know, using those skills 4 through 9 every day, because, you know, I really believe today, yes, I do make my own problems. And anyway, so thanks so much for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Eileen M. And just again, a reminder that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the past couple of days, you're welcome to put out your name to be in the queue. Irene B. Ida A. Ida A.
Liz S.
Liz F. We got room for more.
Sherry K. B.
Sherry K. B. And somebody J.
Judy J.
Judy J. Okay, and one more.
Margo.
Is that Margo P?
Yes.
Okay, great. So here's our lineup. Irene B, Ida A, Liz S, Sherry KB, Judy J, and Margo P. Thanks for being so gentle. I actually got everybody's last initial as well as their name. So if you are not Irene B, please mute your phone, and then Ida A, you'll be right up after Irene. Please go ahead, Irene.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. I'm Irene B., a gratefully recovering bulimic from St. Louis, Louisiana. I absolutely adore this paragraph, and it's all in italics, and that is just so very powerful. And this is a powerful, powerful paragraph for me. This is everything. It's like our problems were of our own making. Yes. I was abused, teased, neglected, and taken advantage of as a kid. But that's when I was a baby. That's when I was a child. That's when I was a young adult. I'm an adult now. What happens to me now, I am responsible. And my part in it sometimes is that I don't stand up for myself. I enable the abuse by not speaking up and not saying, ouch, that hurts. I don't have to be ugly about it. I can be kind about it and speak up when I feel a punch in my gut, when somebody's abrupt, mean, or hurtful to me. And the problems are of my own making. Yes, because I ran the show. I controlled everything because it was my job to take things in my own hands. I had to take matter into my own hands since I was 6 years old. And that's all I've ever known to do. And yes, of course I made a mess of things. And I always blamed everybody for everything. I was such a victim, poor me. That it's inside of me, that critical voice that is relentless in its abuse of me. So that when the when when my circumstances and the people around me were gone from my life, the abuse continued far worse than anybody ever did to me, because I do it to myself. I do it to myself. I'm the one telling myself all the horrible things that I tell myself. I'm the one who rejects me. I'm the one who demands that I be perfect, or else you are nothing. That is so wrong. I'm the one doing it. And this is a beautiful program that helps me to see my part, and it's replacing those old messages with beautiful ones. I deal with my cognitive distortions, and I use the truth to replace the lies. And I will say the most important thing that I wanted to say. This is a program of surrender.
And a reminder.
Okay, and as long as I'm fighting that which bothers me, I'm going to stay troubled. But if I surrender and ego deflation, surrender and ego deflation, and the world is well, no matter what, the world is well. Thank you so much, and I pass.
Thank you, too, Irene B. Okie doke, Ida A is up next, then you'll be followed by Liz S. Please go ahead, Ida.
Hey, good morning. Thank you so much, Elaine. This is Ida, grateful compulsive overeater in Northern British Columbia. Super pumped to be on this meeting this morning. Thank you all for all over the world being on this line so we can all have a meeting. These lines in the big book, well, I did not think they applied to Ida because problems weren't of my own making. I didn't understand that. I didn't understand that food was only a symbol. I wanted to give you a list when I entered the rooms and for a long time afterwards. I wanted to give you a list of all the problems that if you just clear them away, Ida's life would be great. Food, parents, job stuff, people not doing it my way, don't you know I'm God? And I come from a fighting family. I didn't want to give up the fight. I like fighting. It makes me feel alive. So flash forward a bunch of time with the food down, and I have a new set of eyes. I didn't see what I didn't see until I see it. I have always been the problem. What's the solution? God has always been the solution, the creator who I've been so angry with my whole life. And food has been irrelevant, but it blocked my path to God. I see it all in these three simple lines. I didn't believe, and my thinking skills, which at times are kind of good, some would say better than good, but my thinking skills in this area are in defect. And so I need to keep suiting up and showing up. The food can't be an issue. And so I got stuck in the States for a while. It took me a while to get back to Canada. I didn't have access while quarantining. And you know what? It didn't matter. It didn't matter because I had a program, and my son and I could figure out a way to get through it. And God is good. God is good. God is gracious. God is kind. God is abundant. All the things I didn't realize when I was eating and doing other things to keep all of you from me. I feel so grateful to be in program. Bless you all for being here. Safe travel. I pass.
Thank you very much, Ida A. Liz S., you're up next, followed by Sherry KB. Please go ahead.
Hi, it's Liz S., recovered in New Hampshire. And, you know, the first thing this makes me think about is when Bill talks about in How It Works, he says the first requirement is that we be convinced that any life run on self-will can hardly be a success. And that's how I lived, you know, in the disease. I was always right. I was willful. And my problems were of my own making because I wanted to be in charge. I wanted my way. I had to be right. Everyone else was wrong. And as someone often shares on the line, food was not the problem. My emotions were the problem. The problems were of my own making. And food was just a symbol, and food was what I turned to. So what I had to change was me. I had to change the way I thought. I had to change the way I behaved. I had to change the way I acted. And then the food would be in its right place. And that's what I have to remember. And that's very clear what he's saying here. I had to stop fighting. I had to stop behaving the way I was behaving. Self-will had to be, had literally, as Bill said, had to be put aside. My will had to be given to my higher power. And I had to do the work, 10 and 11, especially 10. And there are days when it's very hard. There are days still when the food will call and I know something else is going on. It's not that I need the food. It's that there's an emotion. There's something happening underneath that has to be taken care of. But that's that. Those paragraphs and how it works is very, very important to me to know that something else underneath, underlying, is happening that I need to take care of. So this paragraph, and whenever Bill uses italics, he's really stressing the point that pay attention here because I'm trying to get across the point that it's extremely important. So, you know, heads up, read this carefully. And make special note, bottles are only a symbol. They are not the problem. What's going on in your mind or your thoughts or your emotions are the problem. So I really have to take special care, 10 and 11 especially. And I needed to read this today, and I'm very, very glad that we did, and I'm very grateful that I was given a chance to share, and also thank you, all of you, for giving service and making this meeting possible. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Liz S. So, Sherry KB, you're up next, and you'll be followed by Judy J.
Good morning, Elaine. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Thanks so much for your service, Elaine, and everybody on the line. Welcome, newcomers. Welcome home. We're at the end of this chapter, and I love the way they end chapters in the big book. As it has been said, you know, anything that's in italicized, it means pay attention. This is really important information. So for me, when it talks about we have to cease fighting anybody or anything we have to, you know, that includes myself. You know, a lot of people have talked about, which is really important about, you know, throughout the chapter, especially like in step 10, it talks about, you know, that we have to cease fighting anything or anyone we have to. For, you know, food is only a symptom because we have a greater problem, which is ourselves. It's what goes on between our ears. And I know that, you know, I want to be happy, joyous, and free because I know that my higher power wants me to be, and that's on page 133. And that, you know, if I'm fighting, I have a buildup of human emotion that I have to deal with every day. It doesn't go away. Just because I'm recovered doesn't mean that my buildup of human emotion goes away. It never will. It's just like the disease. So I have tools. I have a spiritual toolkit laid at my feet to deal with these. Steps 10, 11, and 12. So I can't, it's a dubious luxury of normal eaters that can fight people or, you know, whatever you want to call what your fight is. I can't afford it because, you know, I spent my life eating at people all my life. You know, I didn't tell you what I thought was going on, but I sure ate at you. And I found a reason to do it. And I know that love, patience, and tolerance is my code. Justification and fairness is not my code because it was always, it's not fair, and, you know, this is injustice for all. I always had that thing going on, you know, and I had to stop fighting myself because I definitely fought myself, and I ate at other people, and that was my excuse, and I can't afford to eat at other people. It's a dubious luxury of a normal person because they'll put the food down, eventually, or get stomach aches and can't eat anymore. Well, not this compulsive reader, so I can't afford it. And so when I do my step work, I get freed up. It's like my higher power gets in there and sucks everything out like a spiritual vacuum cleaner because I do have a buildup of human emotion, and I have to work on my 10th steps every day and 11th step and my nightly reviews and working with others. To stay recovered, I have to work with others. I notice that when the chaos is going on inside of me and my higher power makes me useful, that goes away, that fight in me goes away. But, you know, if I want to fight for anything, I want to fight for my recovery and work with God. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Right on the button, you're sharing, KB. Thanks. Judy J., you're up next. And then after you will have Margot P., and we'll take another lineup for people who would like to comment on the end of Working with Others, page 103, paragraph 3. And please go ahead, Judy J.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. This is Judy J. I'm from North Central Illinois and a compulsive overeater, and so glad to be here this morning. Well, it's in italics, the writing, and I've been told by my sponsor that that is important. Pay attention. After all, our problems were of our own making. I can remember when I first came in and was reading the big book and came upon this little paragraph, I thought, oh my gosh, that's what I've been doing. For a long time, I blamed how I acted, responded, and ate to my abusive childhood. But with recovery, I have found through steps 4, 5, 6, and 7, the harm and the responsibility that comes with doing those steps, that I need to take some action there. I need to actually put on my big girl pants and say, oh my gosh, I have to take responsibility for this. And through a loving sponsor, higher power, talking through the fellowship, that has happened and continues to happen. It was very painful for me, because I have an ego that is pretty bad. But very gently, my sponsor has helped me through this. And it's just made me so aware of my actions. And I'm just so glad that someone a long time ago, I asked, what is Overeaters Anonymous? And they were in Al-Anon. They said, well, Judy, it's a good program. It's involved with the 12 steps. And I remember even thinking, 12 steps, are there 12 steps to get into the building? Or, you know, what's all involved with that? I'm just so grateful to her. And I continue on by doing steps 10 and 11 with my responsibility for the harms that I have occurred to people. My recovery also has made me compassionate towards others, and especially towards myself, which has been so beautiful. With my meditation in the morning and my journaling, and it goes on to say, we have stopped fighting anybody or anything. And that was me. I was a know-it-all, egotistic, very judgmental. But through a wonderful sponsor, thank you, through my sponsor and my higher power, we are working on that. And I think my higher power is so glad that I finally put on my big girl pants and quit blaming his loved ones for some of the things that I was doing. And now God and I walk this path of living in abstinence, and he helps me grow up every day. Like it says, we have to, I have to. And thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Judy J. So after Margot P., we will take another lineup of people who have not shared in the past 3 days, and that would be on page 103, chapter 3. So please go ahead, Margot.
Hi, everyone. Margot, compulsive overeater, grateful to be on this call. I have not been on around for about, I guess, a couple of weeks, and a lot of things have been going on in my life here, but just for today, I'm glad that I'm here. I'm recovering in the unity with everyone here in service, and reading this paragraph, it's like, oh, my God, my sponsor reminded me of that. A lot ago, like last year, I think, and it has to do with I was doing some painting in my home, and I was in the pity party mode, and I was tired, and I was not paying attention to the halt. And I'm not asking for help. I'm doing the painting all by myself. And I started to get angry, resentful. And then I said, I have to reach out. So I called my sponsor, and then she reminded me. She read this to me. Like, she didn't read it, but she put it on, like, stop fighting anybody or anything. And then after that, I said, after all, our family were our own making. It's like, what does that mean? Here I look at it, I said, oh, my God. This is a spiritual program. I had to be this, take a moment of silence with me this morning because, you know, I'm fighting myself with this, the ego thing and self-seeking. And then my sponsor helped me to get into to do a 12-step with a situation that I had to do with my son, and I'm grateful for that. And then the prayer that I'm practicing on that, so... It's putting me like I have to be aware not to be doing the self-seeking mode, you know, and stop fighting with myself. And so this gives me the opportunity to continue working. Thank you, God. I'm still asking one day at a time. I'm getting an upgrade cell phone number, and I lost all my contact, and I hope my sponsor hearing me. I hope she texts me or calls me to give me her number. But being aware of this program helps me to be honest with myself, what's going on, and that is in the step. And the step has to do with that, with the daily inventory. When I'm having a problem, and when I go to self pity mode, or call my sponsor, call other or a friend. So this puts me in a spot of checking when I know that I need to be aware of when food starts talking to me, or triggering thoughts or triggering food. I need to take responsibility of my action and be aware of my own action. There's nobody's action but mine. So thank you, everyone, for doing this call. Thank you, and I'll pass. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Margot. P. So, again, a gentle reminder that although we value your experience, we ask you to limit your share to every third day, so that others have their own opportunity to share their experience as well. So who would like to comment on this paragraph?
Shelly C.R. Deborah P.
I heard Shelly C.R. Deborah P.
Darren L. P.
Darren K.
Penny L. C.
Penny L. C. I've got Shelly C.R., Deborah, Sherian K., Penny L.C.
Reva G. Anybody? Reva G.
Reva G.
Okay,
and
yes.
And possibly time for one more? Okay, well, let's go with this, and we'll see if we've got any extra time at the end of this time. So I've got Shelly C.R., Deborah, I need the last initial, first initial of your last name, Darian K., Penny L.C., and Reva G. So please go ahead, Shelly C.R.
Thank you, everyone. This is Shelly C.R., recovering compulsive overeater in northern Minnesota. And first of all, I want to say I'm really grateful to hear so many different voices on the line. I've really appreciated the change in allowing people to share, and I just really appreciate all the wisdom and experience, strength, and hope that is shared on this line. So regarding this specific short but powerful, as always, paragraph, when I came into this program, I was not aware by any means that my problems were of my own making, because as many people have shared, they were everybody else's issues and they weren't doing things right. It took me a long time to realize that what that statement meant about being happy or being right, because very much for me, I was like, well, yeah, I am right, and that makes me happy. So it took me a long time. There was a lot of ego involved with that, and that still pops up periodically. The difference today is that I'm working with my higher power, and I recognize that, you know, I play a role in things, and I need to look at what my role is. And the food, you know, thankfully I'm abstinent and I've been able to put the food down, and I've experienced some food neutrality within that, and that's beautiful. And that is only a symptom. It's a symptom of the fact that I am not able to, like, my best thinking is what brought me here, and I'm not able to work through life's problems. Like, I don't know how to do that. And that's what this program gives me. A connection with my higher power allows me to
to go through life and look at things and make decisions around things with guidance from my higher power. And it's not up to me. And I need to do the legwork. I need to do the footwork. I need to, you know, every day I have my action plan and how I work through things and the thing I plan and all that good stuff. But the reality is, it's that connection with my higher power. The things that I do help me to stay connected with my higher power. That part about stopping fighting anybody or anything, I need to make sure that for me, I am not engaging in situations, sticking my nose into other people's business where it doesn't belong, as I can so easily do. Sometimes I'm able to recognize that before I say anything and then pull myself out. Sometimes it's mid-process and sometimes it's afterwards. And then I need to make sure that I make amends. And I'm sure there are times that I don't even recognize that I'm doing that, which is why this is a continual work of progress, not perfection. And I'm just really grateful to be a part of this program. Thank you to everyone. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you so much, Shelley C.R. Deborah, if you could end the first initial of your last name, and then we'll have Gary and Kay after you.
Hi, this is Deborah P., compulsive overeater.
Thank you.
Can you hear me okay?
Just great. Thank you.
Okay. Connection is bad, so hopefully this will continue this call. So, it's been a while since I've been in this meeting, but it's great to be here. I remember, you know, when I first came into this program a while ago, and I heard a young, you know, somebody probably about 25 years old, and I think at the time I was probably twice her age, saying, you know, I've realized that all of my problems are of my own making. You know, at the time, I had no idea that was in the big book. I think I saw it like, you know, a year later or something. But that was one of those shares that just kind of stuck with me. And I thought, wow, you know, if I had at 25 realized, you know, that this was the case, you know, I'd probably be so much further along. But it is so true. And But even once, you know, I realized that I still need my higher power. I mean, it's kind of like I still can't just be like, oh, I'm just going to pull up my bootstraps and now I know that this is the problem. And, you know, I still need my higher power to, this God's grace to get me out of this mess that I've been in. But I have been abstinent actually since January 10th, and that is a total miracle. I have no restrictions. I just don't eat in between meals. And, you know, the biggest thing I've realized is that I lie to myself all the time. I mean, I tell myself I'm going to do things all the time and then I just never do them. So that's kind of what's starting to change is I have a bottom line and I say, you know, I'm going to eat this. And once I decide that, that's what I eat. So just that alone, I'm building self-respect because I'm starting to believe what I actually say to myself. I don't know if that makes any sense. But, so I've been fighting with myself all the time, every day. And, you know, basically, I'm going to do this, and then I just don't do it. So I'm just happy to be here, and then I'm in this process of building self-respect. It's a great feeling.
Thank you very much, Deborah T. So I have Darian K up next, followed by Penny LC.
Hi, it's Darian K. I'm in the Berkshires of Massachusetts. I'm grateful, recovered, compulsive over the year. This paragraph is really good. And actually, it's funny. It's I look at it on my phone. I have a big book app, and it's all in caps. So we know what caps mean, right? Yelling and really getting the point across in capital letters. So it's good. It's really good. And so it made me think of a few things. First of all, what came to mind immediately was the promises. Wow, it's like, right, we have stopped fighting anybody or anything, even food for this time we are placed in a position of neutrality. And it just went right into that promise that we read. And so thank you, Bill, for repeating that, you know, in this at the end of this chapter to help me remember that. And, you know, I remember the problems, boy, you know, were of my own making, though I did not want to see it, just like many others shared, you know. Why didn't the diets work? Boy, I stuck to it Monday through Thursday. Or, you know, why aren't the relationships working? You know, I'm always right, and don't they know they need to listen to me? And I'm laughing because it's so crazy. You know, hating myself and feeling like a failure on many fronts. Those are my problems. Those are my ways of seeing the world, you know, and so when I came to program, you know, people might say, oh, we're being brainwashed. My brain needed to be washed. You know, I needed a cleaning, an overhaul of how I thought about life and myself and my higher power and, you know, and just changed. It changed how I worked my life in general. You know, I didn't have accountability when it came to diets. I didn't have accountability when it came to, trying to do things on my own. And so, you know, I had to ask for help, through a sponsor, through my higher power, through literature, through all the wonderful things that we have in this program that give us the answers to our problems on a daily basis. You know, just so grateful to hear all of you, grateful to know that I can plug in and stay connected at this strange time in our lives where we're, you know, so isolated. I feel like a bear in hibernation, and I'm not going to, like, store my food, that's for sure. I'm going to, you know, eat abstinently and work my program and come out a better person as a result. So thank you so much for all being there. I pass.
Thank you very much, Gary and Kay. And Penny Elstein, you are up next, followed by Reba G. Please go ahead, Penny.
Thank you, Elaine, for your service. Good morning, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny Elstein, a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And I know that throughout this chapter, we're learning about working with others. But throughout it, there are promises given and cautions given. And it talks about, you know, being sure to stay in the path of spiritual progress and remarkable things will happen. Well, my remarkable thing that happened was finding out how much problems were of my own making and how much I did need to stop fighting anyone or anything. I have a history that I look back on and can see so clearly where I had one job and there was this coworker that I just was so frustrated over. I was just constantly resenting this person and had a chance to change jobs. And I thought, oh, good. I won't have to work with her any longer. Well, the interesting thing was that I changed jobs. And she followed me. Now, it wasn't the same physical person, but, oh boy, it was the same personality, the same interaction that I got bent out of shape over and ended up in the same situation with, as far as, you know, feeling antagonistic toward this person and resenting this person and just having, you know, that underlying resistance to this person. And but the good news is at that point I was in recovery and I was learning about my step work and what it was going to take to change. And the beautiful part is, third job into it, I could identify who that person would have been had I not recovered. But I also could just recognize that person as sick and suffering, just like me, no better, no worse. And I never had to engage with that person at that level. That person, I never resented that person. I mean, it's amazing to see how that neutrality does kick in when I am on solid spiritual ground. And that is a miracle. I'm grateful for the promises and the warnings, and ending on a warning, just reminding me my humanness is there and I need to still be careful. Thanks for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Penny Elsie. So we have Riva G up next, and please go ahead, Riva. Do I want to unmute? Riva G?
Hello, this is Riva G in Brooklyn.
Hi.
And I am going to give you my phone number because I'm on the phone and not on the computer. It's 1-9-7.
Actually,
yes?
We leave numbers for newcomers at the end of the meeting. Did you want to share on what the reading was today?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay,
yes.
Please go ahead. Thank you.
Okay. Yes. So this section, it says, we had stopped fighting anything or anyone, and that is a part of the 10-step promise, exactly the 10-step promise. Those are the exact words, and when they repeat some of these things, some sentences in the book, that's when they're more than screaming at me. They're really...
I'm so sorry, Rita. I just want to let you know you're breaking up a bit. Is there an adjustment you might be able to make to your phone so we could hear you a little better? We definitely want to hear your share.
Tell me if you can hear me now. Is this any better?
Not much.
Okay.
Not much better.
I'm sorry. Let me quickly get to a different location. Okay. Can you hear me now? Is this any better?
It's a tiny bit better. Please go ahead.
Okay. This is a part of the 10-step promise. Literally, we have stopped fighting anything or anyone, and that's on page 84. And the 10-step promise says that we recoil as from a hot flame. And that happens automatically with any thought or effort on our part. If you look back at the doctor's opinion, what the doctor says is that we succumb. Well, succumb is without any thought or effort, but we've gone from succumb to recoil automatically without us being ever in control of that. It just happens as a process of doing all this marvelous work. And when we recoil, to me, that's the definition of recovered. So I feel so grateful that I recoil is from a hot flame, literally. I cannot get myself to do something that's not on my food plan. And that it happens to me automatically. No, I don't go past that point. Thank you, God. And I just want to say about fighting other people, I had a boyfriend in my youth that called me Reva the Terrible. And that's because I was some fighter. I really was a real good fighter. And I had to stop. I lived my life by fighting. I had been abused. I had been beaten and so forth. But that wasn't the reason I was Reva the Terrible. I was Reva the Terrible because I was in self-pity. I was Reva the Terrible because I was vindictive. And until I got to this program, I would never have recovered. And if I didn't recover from the overeating, I would have remained psychologically depressed and on medication for the rest of my life. So this is a physical, spiritual, and mental, any kind of recovery that you could mention. I cannot be more grateful to this program because it has given me a life. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, too, Reva P. We have time for one very quick, maybe a minute and a half share. Anybody have a burning desire?
Lisa J.R.
Please go ahead, Lisa.
Hey, thank you very much for your service. Lisa J.R. here, gratefully recovered from Baltimore. So cupcakes were just a symbol of the bottomless pit of my hypersensitivity, being less than, you know, not maximizing my potential, my cynicism, my distrust, my self-inflicted misery and my discontentment that I had. And I could add to the list, just go to the bedevilments, the gifts of the disease on 52. So I ended up ghosting everyone and everything that was healthy in my life. It was a very lonely place. But inherently, somewhere in my soul, I knew
gee, you know, I know that God doesn't want me to suffer. I know that I can be restored. So, you know, he led me to crawling into OA on my face, you know. And so one of the things I learned was that I didn't have to defend myself, that God would do that for me. And all I have to say is that, you know, that one that I found was God, and may you find him, you know, too. And I love how Dr. Bob ends his story. Your Heavenly Father will never let you down, whatever that looks like to you today. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks so much, Lisa J.R., and thanks to everybody who shared today. So appreciate it. We'll now transition the meeting by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Penny L.C. please read a vision for you?
Yes, this is Penny L.C., and this is the Big Book. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you